Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. Today, the balance between justice and security after 9/11. Today, continuing my conversation with Karen J. Greenberg, the director of the Center on National Security at Fordham University School of Law. She's been a guest on the program before. We're talking about her new book, Rogue Justice, The Making of the Security State. It's about the battle between liberty, the need for liberty in this country, and the need for security after 9/11. All right, so Karen, do you ever fantasize that you have Dick Cheney or John Yoo or David Addington or Alberto Gonzalez or one of the other people you point to in the book as being the real architects of these policies that you are so critical of? Do you ever fantasize about, having them in a locked room and being able to say whatever you want to say to them? And if you do have that fantasy, what would you say?
You know, that's a really good question, because I'm a person who believes strongly that, that a lot of the things that went wrong weren't done by people who were, some kind of cartoonish evildoer, but were by people who had good intentions to keep the country safe. In the list of people you just named, I'm not sure that's true. I think there was a sense of using the country for other means than just protecting justice, and that justice was really in the way more than anything else. But the person I'd perhaps like to talk to the most about this, and have on a couple of public occasions, is John Yoo. And I know that, sort of is backing away from why don't you want to talk to the big henchmen, but for me, it's the people who are faced with, will you write this memo for me? Will you authorize this? And sort of not understanding the consequences of what they're doing. I think Addington and Cheney did understand the consequences of what they were doing. I'm not sure John Yoo did. And what I would really like to ask him is, how does it feel? And is there any moment that you can see where you would say, this was a road we shouldn't have gone down, and this is not something I would repeat? I don't think that would happen, but that's what I want, because I think that would be an incredibly important message to send to others who will be in his position in future years.
When President Obama was elected, a lot of people thought that some of these policies would change. He certainly campaigned about how he was going to instantly shut Guantanamo, which, of course, has not happened. How much of a disappointment has President Obama been from where you stand?
Well, he certainly didn't live up to his promises either about Guantanamo or about transparency, which is a second very important promise he made, that he understood at the outset, or his advisors told him, that secrecy had been much of what went wrong in the war on terror in terms of justice and law and liberty. But I do want to say a few things about what I learned in this book about Obama, and it's both good news and bad news again, which is that if you look at how the Patriot Act sunsetted, you see that he is very much behind the scenes, authorizing reports that get written that show that the programs don't work, that he is not going to take the lead, that he's going to trust in some kind of long investigative process to make it happen. That's just who he is. The same thing with Guantanamo. The long-term perspective that he took, even though he said he'd close it in a year, but then saying we're going to do this with all these details and procedures rather than, double down on the information we already have, we're going to just sort of start from scratch, was sort of problematic and has left us where we are today. And having said all that, I actually think he's going to close Guantanamo. I think that before he leaves office, he will close it. And some of that may be just pure idealism and wishful thinking, but there are more and more individuals every single month being cleared for release for Guantanamo, even those who in the past have been considered too dangerous to release. There are going to be very few individuals in custody, aside from the military commissions, when it comes to the end of his presidency. It's hard to see that Congress, that now forbids any of these individuals to come here under any circumstances, it's hard to imagine that when it's costing something like $11 million per year per prisoner, that they're really going to still feel that way. And so I do think it's going to close. I think the military commissions will be addressed perhaps in a way that returns them to the federal courts one way or another. But I think it's going to close. And so part of the way in which I keep my disappointment at bay is to tell myself that.
Well, I hope you're right. I actually had the, I won't say pleasure, but I did have the opportunity to visit Guantanamo, and I won't miss going there, that's for sure.
No, it's a horrible place.
Horrible place. And you know, for food, you know, it had something like a McDonald's, you know, so on that level alone, it should close. So are there any heroes here? You mentioned Jack Goldsmith. Are there heroes here for you, for people who stood up against this, even though it was not in their interest?
Sure. I mean, Jack Goldsmith, yes. Jim Comey, currently the director of the FBI, who in that period of his of time very much carried the torch of the Constitution and constitutional principles. Another lawyer from the Justice Department, Jim Baker, who now, interestingly enough, is the general counsel of the FBI, who was pretty much known as the Fourth Amendment incarnate in terms of sort of protecting individuals in their rights and making sure that that which was represented on paper about why surveillance powers was needed was truthful. So I find them heroes. I find Snowden a hero. Hard to say, you know, that you find both the head of the FBI and Edward Snowden heroes. What Snowden did is incalculably important, and jump-started the nation to a place it really needed to be, which was confronting for the first time what had been done in its name beyond torture, and in fact, in some ways more egregious even than torture, if you can imagine, against not just others, but against the American people. And getting a handle on this and understanding what happened and what went wrong is extremely important. So he's a hero. And then the biggest hero of the book is not a person, but an organization. It's the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, which from you know, the fall of 2001 until today has continued to beat the drum about the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, and the Eighth Amendment, and the protections that are due American citizens and others, and how important they are. And because they kept on this, losing time after time after time in court, while the courts deferred to the executive on national security grounds, they kept alive a conversation and a spirit of the law that otherwise would have been just completely overrun. And so they are the big heroes of the book, even though it's a they. You know, Anthony Romero was the head of the ACLU for this entire period of time, like Robert Mueller, who came into the to head the FBI in September of 2001. They both started their jobs the week before 9/11. Can you imagine? And so, So, you know, the long-term perspective that the ACLU and in particular Anthony Romero has been incredibly important. And, you know, the team of lawyers that have stayed on this are, I think, a tired crew, but they did a good job.
My guest is Karen Greenberg, talking about her new book, Rogue Justice, The Making of the Security State. You mentioned, Karen, Edward Snowden as a hero. He's also probably the person who gave away more American secrets, more incredibly sensitive American secrets than probably anyone in espionage history. Is there some irony there that he's both a hero and also, you know, someone who did great damage?
Yeah, and it's and you know, that's a real question, like what was the damage he did? And again, this is all about transparency and secrecy, and so you're told, look at the damage he did, but nobody's told us what the damage he did was. And I'm not saying that I know that he did or didn't do damage, but we haven't seen it. So we don't know. In terms of other countries knowing that we were spying on them or that we knew that they were spying us, I think that's probably tradecraft. Again, I think the larger issue here is who we are as a country. And one of the things that's been in the news this past couple of days is these new documents that Vice got from a FOIA request showing that Snowden, as his lawyers have been saying, did in fact try a number of internal ways to go through whistleblowing channels to reveal what he eventually revealed and was shut down in the process of doing so. So I think there's more to this story than meets the eye. I think the what he did that endangered the United States has yet to be said or seen. And, you know, we're living in a time where all too often the government has said, no, you don't know how dangerous that person is, whether it's in a terrorism prosecution in the United States or something else, or in talking about targeted killings, which is also, you know, classified secret, trust me government, which is we know more than you know. If you knew what we knew, you would not be supporting, you would not be supporting the rights of this individual. If you knew what we knew, you would not care that we're, you know, have this kind of policy where judicial review is targeted killings, where judicial review is pushed aside. And I don't know, and that's the same thing with Snowden. If you knew what we knew, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying about him. But I don't know what they know, and we never will. And it's not trustworthy at this point in time, because the legacy on the war on terror is that time and time again, national security was used as an excuse rather than a reason. And so that's what we're left with. At least that's what I'm left with.
Well, Karen, in summary, I mean, in this sort of historic sweep of this struggle between the need for security, for safety, and the need for liberty and justice, there will be terrible things that happen to this country again at some point in the future. What's the historical lesson that you would like Americans to remember?
There are two historical lessons. One is when you react, try to remember who you are when you're reacting, and to understand the perils of going overboard and how impossible, once you Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall, it is to put it back together. And the second thing is, cut yourself some slack. If after a year or 18 months, you wake up and you realize, oh my God, we were in trauma, we reacted in a way that horrifies us when we really think about it, then instead of saying, but we're right, say, you know what? We made a mistake. We're going to reorient. We're going to rethink. We're going to restart. And we never did that. And that, to me, is much worse than the original, let's do everything we can, which makes total sense, and you make mistakes. And rather than saying, okay, we made those mistakes, but now we're going to remember who we are as a country, we just went on and said, no, we want more of the same.
Karen Greenberg's new book is Rogue Justice, The Making of the Security State. Karen Greenberg, thank you again for being on the program.
Thank you so much, David.